The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer. Episode 7, recorded live at Acquia Engage, London. Features the CEO and Chief Market Officer of Acquia, Steve Rennie and Jennifer Griffin-Smith, in conversation with Michael Nutley.
Hi, and welcome to the Business and Marketing podcast. We're here at the Acquia Engage event in London, and I'm joined by Steve Rennie, CEO of Acquia, and Jennifer Griffin-Smith, the Chief Market Officer. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
I think a good place to start would be maybe if you could just talk a bit about Acquia, what you do, kind of where you came from, where you're going, and introduce yourselves in terms of job roles and background. Steve, might we go to you first?
Sure, I appreciate that. So I'll give a little bit of background on Acquia first. So Acquia was started by Dries Boytaert, who also is the founder and still worldwide project lead for Drupal. So back in 2007, Acquia was founded on the premise that the world needed a commercial support vehicle for people who were adopting Drupal applications. And we have evolved since those days. And today, through that evolution, it's led us to today where we are the open digital experience company, digital experience platform company, that is. DXP is the acronym that's often used. So, and we could talk a little bit about that and what that means and how we solve problems for customers. Maybe just a bit of brief background for me. I've been at Acquia 6 years, took over as CEO in January of this past year, having previously been COO. And that comes on the heels of about 25 years or so being on the operating side of technology. But having started my career as a finance guy in the mid-80s, being at what today is KPMG, I did that till 1990, and I spent the 90s in banking and investment banking, with one of my practice specialties being technology, which led me to the operating side of tech.
Right, interesting, I see. And Jennifer?
Hi, nice to see you. So I'm the Chief Market Officer at Acquia. I have been here for just over a year now. I've always been in marketing and always in tech marketing my entire career. I love being here at Acquia because I actually get to sell and market all of the MarTech that we consume. So when we talk about digital experiences, it's about helping our customers build those experiences that connect more powerfully with their audiences. And that's what I'm trying to do as a marketing practitioner and my team are trying to do. And the world is so crazy busy digitally now. We're all bombarded and we're all trying to get to the same audiences. And how do we build innovative solutions to allow customers in all industries to be able to connect in a more powerful way with all of their audiences, no matter where they are or what their ability is?
Yeah, I'll pick up on that later on, but that seemed to me to be a really interesting point, that you're absolutely in a privileged position to talk about B2B marketing for that very reason.
Absolutely.
So Steve, maybe you could just talk a bit about Acquia and what it is you do.
Sure. What we are trying to help our customers do is create productive digital experiences. And we talk about those very specifically and what they mean, but those experiences that our customers want to be able to produce for their customers. In short version, ultimately what our customers want to do is they want to be able to reach out and engage their customers or their prospects across whatever channels they engage them, which could be web, it could be email, it could be social, it could be channels that don't exist today that will tomorrow. And across all of those channels, they want to reach out, engage them in a very personalized and a very consistent way, with the idea that if they can do that and they can create those productive digital experiences that we talk about, then the likelihood of a conversion from those interactions goes way up. So ultimately, we're trying to provide solutions, products and solutions for them that allow them to produce those productive digital experiences, which really presuppose that they are frictionless, they're accessible, they're relevant, and they're safe. And if we can help our customers do that, then ultimately we've done our job.
And what sort of businesses do you work with? Do you have a particular segment that you target, or are you kind of everywhere?
We are a very horizontal solution, both in public and private sector. We have customers across the gamut of industries both public and private.
And maybe just to add on to that, Steve, because we're here at Engage London and we've had some great customers talking today, but to give an example of some of those to help with that, where we help them. So we've had, you know, United Rentals, which are one of the largest providers of work machinery for sites. And they talk about how they've built a digital tool belt to not only increase their revenue, but to keep people safe on a job site, right? So that's the type of example. We've also got the UN that was here that talks about building digital experiences to keep migrants safe, right? And then we've got commercial organizations that are retailers that we're helping to ensure that card conversion happens quicker, or higher education so that students can get access to information and find the right courses quicker. So it really does. That's the beauty of it. It runs across all industries, and it's so great to see what customers do with it.
Yeah, sure. I want to talk about marketing, B2B marketing in particular, and get your perspective, you know, how it's changed. But Jennifer, I have to ask you this first. Chief Market Officer, why?
Because marketing is as much, if not more, about the market and the customer and understanding what we are delivering to the customer than it is the activities that we're executing against. And in my experience, this is my sixth CMO role, marketing is too often thought of as the company, as the part of the company that executes activities. And one of the things, and one of the reasons I joined Acquia, is the belief that everything we do is for our customer. And if we in marketing, working closely with our product team and our sales organization, aren't hyper-focused on customer needs, market needs, and innovating for those needs, then we're just doing activities. And so it's really about how do we connect across teams, again, not just marketing, but product and customer success and sales, and how we do the best thing for our customer.
Now, that's really interesting. So, which leads us neatly into the next sort of question, which is, well, you know, what if you kind of described your vision for what market activity and is, what does that look like in the organization? How does that kind of manifest itself?
Marketing, go-to-market activity?
Well, or just, yeah, that kind of overarching involvement of the across the business in the understanding of the customer.
Yeah. Well, I think we have a very unique culture where we all want to operate as one for the success of the customer. So rather than it being a product team or a customer success team or a marketing team, we think about our go-to markets in terms of how we're innovating and then how we're taking them to market. So I spend as much time with all the cross-functional teams as I do with my own marketing team. And my own marketing team spend as much time with their cross-functional team. So how does product and engineering work with product marketing and work with content to make sure that what we're innovating and what we bring to market is going to be what meets the needs of the customers. So I think it's about the way we work internally. I think it's about a culture we have, an ethos of working, and then the processes that we put in place so anybody new coming in can understand how that might be different from where they've worked before.
This is something that fascinates me is not just how you know, culture is, it's very easy to talk about, but very hard to build. And so this notion of, you know, bringing somebody on and what how do you explain to people, how do you embed in people that this is not kind of, may not be what they're used to?
That's an interesting question. So we have a set of vital few objectives that we run the company with, and we refer to them as VFOs. And we very purposefully have, and in priority order, we very purposefully have our number one VFO as improving the customer experience. And to the point that Jen was making, that cross-organizational belief and instilling that belief, you know, the entire company would be able to tell you in priority order what our VFOs are, and everybody would be able to say very specifically that the cross-organizational initiatives that are focused on improving the customer experience are the number one most important things that we will do. So when you say, how do you instill that culture? It starts with defining what is core to us as a company and making that a priority, you know, for the company. And by making it a priority, you're also making investment decisions and priority decisions around where you're going to allocate resources. And what we are telling people is, if you have to make a trade-off decision between two things, decide, is this improving, going to improve the customer experience in some way? If it is, that's your priority.
I mean, business is tough, right? And companies go through changes, and Acquia's been through changes, and it's not always plain sailing, and we'd be fooling ourselves if we think it was. But I think when you've got a baseline culture and you've got an ethos of how the company was created, which, as Steve mentioned, was born from an open source community project. And so we're very open in everything we do, and we use that as part of our values. And so that openness goes into our innovation, and it goes into our ecosystem of how we work with partners. It goes through how we engage with each other internally. It goes to how we want to build solutions that customers can mean are open and accessible to all. So I think that's a fundamental of being open means many things within our business, both from an innovation, how we work, and how we deal with each other.
Right, I see. Obviously, you know, B2B marketing has changed a lot in the past few years. How has that affected you? Have you changed the way you think about what you do in response to this kind of growing sort of buyer focus rather than seller, or has the culture we've just been talking about kind of set you in good stead for this emerging world?
Well, culture will always set you in good stead, but again, let's not kid ourselves. It's really hard work, right? And marketing in this digital arena is hard, and anybody will tell you that is in a digital marketing role, because there's a lot of competition, and there's a lot of digital ways in which you can get to a consumer, and those consumers now self-serve themselves, and they have a lot of choice, and the buyer has changed. You know, if you think about us as individuals, the way I buy a car now, the way I might self-serve myself for a mortgage application, the way I might buy a shirt versus going to a market, like everything has changed. The pandemic had something to do with that. Now people's expectations have grown because now I can work from everywhere. Well, why can't I serve myself from everywhere? And everybody expects, as Steve mentioned, these frictionless, productive experiences. And so we may deliver that as a solution, but we have to deliver that as a marketing organization for Acquia. And it means that you have to be very targeted. It means you have to understand your audience, even when you don't have the data on your audience, because of a cookieless future that is almost here. And because of the different mix of marketing tactics that go on there, and the amount of ROI you get on that spend has changed, and the tactics that we do has changed. And so getting the mix right is not easy. Right, and working across multiple teams is not easy. But I think if we all remain true to our culture and work together and think about the customer and think about measuring the data and what's impacting the customer. And we just had a great discussion actually with the marketing leaders lunch where we talked about this mix of data is super important, but then taking that data and thinking about, is it real? Because you can use ChatGPT to formulate some data, but then you look at it and you'll say, oh, actually, that's not maybe all correct. So you've got to take a gut feel, and then you've got to test that with your community. So take that customer. So it's a mix of all those things to make sure that you know you're spending your marketing dollar wisely and getting a return for it.
In the end as well, all of the marketing efforts that we focus on and do, as Jen said, are very purposeful, but your existing customers are also at times your best sellers, right? And making sure that we are delivering a great experience to our existing customers, and they are realizing the value that they expected when they invested in us, for us is priority number one. Because we can do all of the best marketing in the world, and if you've got an install base that isn't happy and isn't willing to tell people that they should buy things from you, then it's hard.
Yeah, that's your brand. I mean, a brand isn't what we stick on an ad, right? The brand is the service they get from us, the value they see out of our solutions, and so that's really where we focus.
And can you talk about, you know, well, I suppose has what you do changed, and can you talk about how, you know, what it looks like now, and how you think it might look in the future?
So I would say, if we think about some high level topics of how it's changed, team building and team recruitment has changed for sure, because the talent that you need in a marketing team is much more technology savvy and data driven now than, you know, back in the day when I started marketing, we were still running direct mail and printing things and, you know, looking at the color bleeds on press, right? I mean, I don't think anybody I hire would know what that is even is right now. So the team talent has changed for sure. Tactics have changed. So digital marketing that didn't exist. I mean, you think about social influencers. We look at other channels too. So we have something called Acquia TV, which is an always on video channel, which is, you know, complementary to our website, but it's using video as a way to engage an audience. And we can look at, you know, not just time spent on site, but consumption of the video and where the fall off is, because we want to know that we're creating content that is meaningful and we can feature our customers and our partners through that too. So tactics have also changed. Tech has definitely changed, and more so than ever, if you think about solutions that offer personalization, you know, I mean, there's a lot there that can help us understand the intent of our customers, who they are. And there's a balance between personalization and invasion, which we talk about every day of the week too. So I think between people, tech, tactics, processes, there's a lot that's changed.
To what extent have you come up against the idea of kind of personalizing to a buying committee? This seems to be, you know, on everybody's mind at the moment. Is that something you've run across? Is that, you know, has that changed the way you approached marketing?
Definitely, definitely. My team will laugh when they hear me. I'm like, the notion of a lead drives me bonkers, right? Because I think one person doing one activity on your website does not make a lead, because there is a buying center and there's probably 10 people in that organization that need to be involved in the purchase of that one solution. And so we need to understand who all those people are, and we need to look at what those people are doing. And there are tools out there that we use, intent-based tools that allow us to understand unknown people coming to our site and what they're doing, so we can grow a profile of an account, not just an individual. And I think that is a big change. It's also hard to implement, and it's hard for teams to understand, and it's hard to create programs that then go very specific to those accounts, because you're out of a volume game, right? And you're into hopefully a higher value game, but it's a change.
And if we're doing our job, we are bringing those buyer committees together. Because if we are just focusing on an opportunity that is to one part of a buying committee, then it's a bit of a fool's errand in the end, because it's going to stall at some point. So for us, you know, table stakes, part of the job now is making sure we can identify who those buying committees are and we can bring them together. And sometimes it takes us bringing them together within an organization, because they may not naturally just, you know, convene themselves.
That's a really great point. You know, this notion of IT and marketing and where the buying center lives, the reality is it lives with neither one. One might hold the budget, but ultimately you need both. And quite often we might be either talking to IT or talking to marketing, but we see our experiences being able to bring those two together for the better of the customer. Quite often we talk to marketing organizations that are frustrated by IT because, you know, they can't get things, how do we get started? But then you've got IT that are, you understand they're controlling massive amounts of systems across an organization, and they want consolidation and they want quicker time to market. And so Steve's absolutely right. Our experience of working with these companies and being able to bring teams together is really valuable for them.
And in doing so, it requires that we speak the language of each buyer. We don't speak to marketers in the same way that we speak to IT, as an example. And that's a recognition that, you know, that's had to change over time. There is no one language fits all, if you will.
And then, and you know, going back to your where we originally started, you know, there's as businesses become increasingly customer centric, then other people become involved in the process as well. So it's not just IT and marketing. It's everybody has an interest, even if it's not actually a kind of a as a user, but as part of the business.
Yeah, actually, I was talking to a customer just a couple of weeks ago that's using one of our solutions, and they kind of had an aha moment when we talked about some of the analytics they could get on the performance of their site and the channels that they're using to basically create customers. It's a retail company. And they suddenly said, oh my goodness, like, can we automate this data going to our product team? Because they'd find this fascinating. We're like, yes, we can help you do that. And to your point, that data becomes so important for other teams that are doing other things in the business that might not be exactly working on that campaign, but it helps them understand the buyer and the audience.
So you're looking, you know, you're not just looking at, you know, two or three people. You're looking at a cluster, and then beyond that, at the business as a whole.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And if you are in technology, the technology side of a buyer, you may care lots about our customability, right? So that you can build highly, you know, functioning, productive experiences. Whereas if you're in marketing or you're a business user, you may be more focused on ease of use, as an example of our products. And so those conversations are very different. But we need to be able to satisfy each, and we have solutions that do satisfy each, but we've got to be able to articulate that in a way.
And we want to help customers be able to show internally what they're doing, because at the end of the day, the people we're dealing with have been given a budget by somebody, and they're accountable for that budget. And just like I have to show to Steve the ROI on the marketing budget I spend, they have to show the ROI on what they're spending. And so to give them that information and to help them show internally, you know, this is the investment we've made, but this is the benefit we're getting from it. We actually just got asked this morning by one of the customers on stage, oh, there's a presentation coming up internally, and I'd love to be able to give, you know, our senior person more information to be able to talk to the value that these connected sites are bringing to our customers. Brilliant.
One of the questions I ask Jen periodically is, if we had more of investment available for marketing, where would we invest it to get the highest return? And our customers are going to ask that same question, right? And we need to be able to answer that question, and they need to be able to answer that question.
So which leads me very neatly onto, it's almost like we planned it, my next question, which is around metrics. You know, when you're looking at this kind of multi kind of individual marketing way of thinking, how do you measure that? I mean, obviously you can, you know, you've got a sale at the end of the process, or you haven't, but how do you know as in flight how well you're doing? How do you measure that?
That's a timely question. I'll let Jen talk about it. It is a question we tackle ourselves, right? And when we think about it ourselves as we run a company. And that is changing as well, right? The traditional measures of lead generation through the funnel as the being, you know, how much goes in the top versus how much comes out the bottom is not the be-all end-all anymore. And Jen referenced some of it before, and I'll let her, you know, touch more on it, you know, as we talked about attribution as an example.
Yeah, one of the things we do is try and look at it as an entire company. So it's not so frequently in the past, the creation of the pipeline or the revenue has been a blame game, right? And that doesn't help any teams working together. So it's not about what sales sourcing or what inside sales or what marketing are sourcing. It's about, are we generating the right goals for the company? And so we measure that obviously as pipeline and revenue, and we measure that in multiple ways to Sunday versus new business and customer business and different products. But we look at that as an entirety, and we look at it as a go-to-market function, right? So myself and the head of sales, we work together, and because my team can't do it and his team can't do it alone. Our teams together have to work in process. And so we look at things like, what's the volume coming in? What accounts are they assigned to? What category of accounts are they in our ICP? What is the follow-up of that looking like? Do we need to train people more? Then we do look at win rates and we look at conversions and things like that. We do look at some campaign attribution. We try and do multi-touch attribution because, again, a notion of, well, you've spent a dollar on an email and has that email generated a lead and does that lead convert to a piece of business just doesn't exist anymore. So we do look at attribution, and we can see where things are. Certain tactics do cost more than they used to. And I actually see that with customers. We have a customer data platform solution which allows customers to really look at the channels that they're using and the cost of acquisition of a customer by channel, which I just as a marketer find absolutely fascinating when I talk to customers. And they're seeing the same things. Things like paid search is increasing, which makes sense if you think about it, because there's so much activity out and everybody wants to pay to be highest ranked. And so that costs a little more. We talk about email being dead. Email is not dead. You could talk to multiple marketeers and they will tell you it's still their best performing tactic in terms of driving a response. Like the response rate is high, but it's not any one thing, right? People want to, they will self-serve content, and we don't gate our content because you can't gate everything because nobody will fill a form in anymore. So, you know, there's ways in which these are how the tactics have changed, and it all makes a journey. The point is you have to look at the journey, the content being consumed, and then look at, well, what's your total sales and marketing spend as a percentage of revenue? What does your LTV to CAC look like? That's how we look at it at a high level of the business to know if it's actually performing.
Yeah, and those knobs are turned every day. Mm. To Jen's point, this is not a set it and forget it, you know, type of thing. This is something that is literally tuned every day, every week, every month. And it's a living, breathing thing that has to evolve. And market dynamics impact it. Install customer base impacts it. You know, macroeconomic events impact it.
For sure. So, yeah. And believe me, every day, I wish it was better. Every day we say, oh my God, why can't we get that piece of data? You know, not there isn't a perfect world. And every day we're reiterating and the team are looking at tech and they're looking at new reports and new dashboards and we find new things. And we say, look, progress over perfection, right? Let's just keep growing, keep learning and make progress.
Then last question, what are you excited about looking forward? As you look into the landscape and what's emerging, you know, what are you excited about for marketing over the next 2-3 years?
So the thing that I'm super excited about right now is the notion of digital accessibility. And I don't say that because I work for a software company that happens to sell a product that helps you do that. I really say it as a marketeer because I've never in my history of being a marketing leader built digital accessibility as a core part of my digital strategy. And I kind of feel a little shameful for that now that I've, over the last year or so, been digging into this. If we as marketeers want to address all our audiences, we need to make sure that all of our content and all of our channels are accessible to everyone. And that is location, gender, and ability. And being able to know that PDFs are not accessible and that all your PDFs on your site can't be read by anybody that has a visual impairment is terrible. To know that your forms can't be filled in by anybody that has a colorblindness is terrible. And these are just small things that make an impact on site traffic and site conversion. And so I feel like we can address a bigger audience by doing this ourselves. And I'm super proud that we have a solution that we are seeing customers use that allows them to be able to address their audiences and create much more productive, accessible strategies.
Yeah, I would say there are three things that ultimately, if you were to look at the pillars of our solutions, one is around content. Yeah, and the challenge and the opportunity in the market, you know, today is obviously AI is a huge topic. You know, but AI as it relates to content also comes with the potential pitfall of being lost in a sea of sameness, right, as content gets generated. So I think the ability for folks to distinguish themselves in terms of not just the generation, but the management and conversion of delivering the right content at the right time across the right channels, there's a real opportunity. And for those who do it well, they will succeed. Our customers have insight challenges. They want to, you know, they want to have make decisions that are informed by data. So I think it's exciting for me to be able to generate the kinds of capabilities for our customers to be able to have data-driven insights. And then lastly, they need optimization. And optimization comes in the form of accessibility as part of it, no doubt. But it's also optimizing, having a very performant platform and being able to have them do things, not just focus on content, insights, and activations, but do it in an operationally efficient way. But that reach that Jen talked about as it relates to accessibility, huge. And you know, up to 20% of the addressable market for our customers isn't available to them if they're not considering accessibility. And so I think the opportunity that we have, as Jen said, is to help our customers expand their addressable market And frankly, the way that we change the world is through all of the things that our customers do, whether our customers are saving lives or whether they're educating our youth or whether they're selling us goods and services that we need to live our daily lives. That's the impact that we can have. So the more efficient that we can help make them, the better we believe the world will be. And so that's our part. You know, so we'll do our part in that. And so it's exciting to us. And I believe we bring in the right solutions to bear to help them in those ways.
Great. Steve, Jennifer, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
The Business of Marketing podcast is brought to you by Demand Exchange. Demand Exchange provides the technology, content, and expertise to identify and acquire your next ideal customer.